Welcome back, Timekeepers. We're still buzzing from our last episode with David from the Strap Tailor. Such a fun interview, and we learned so much. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did producing it. We're keeping with watch straps this month, talking about our favourite NATOs. The watch company we're praising this episode is IWC. So Tim, what's on your wrist today?
Oh, hi Zach, how are you doing? It's actually the same one I had last time. That sounds very boring, doesn't it? But it's Omega Seamaster 300. It's a glorious day here in England, isn't it? It's probably going to rain tomorrow. But the blue dial is amazing in the shadow. It just changes all the time. So I thought, I've got to get that watch on. Sort of dart in and out of the shade and the sun to see it all. So I've got the same one I had last time, but it's a beautiful watch. What about you, Zach?
Yeah, amazing. It is a great day to have on that watch. A lot of sunshine in London. Well, today I have on my new purchase. I know I kind of like hinted to it in the previous episode. So it's my Rolex Oyster Perpetual Reference 1500. Initially, I was thinking to get a Datejust, as I think I've probably mentioned before in the previous episode. But I then decided to go after a slightly less common option, which is the Oyster Perpetual, and I'm loving it, Tim.
Excellent. Well, I mean, I don't have a Rolex yet, but obviously it's a great achievement that you've joined that sort of family, as it were, and you've gone vintage as well. I saw it the other day, didn't I? It's absolutely beautiful. So congratulations.
Yeah.
You've made it. Thank you. Club. Well done. Objective complete.
Cheers. Who knows?
Cool. So why don't we move over to, I think actually it's my favourite section of the show that we do, and it's watches we're lusting after, because sometimes we lust after something for a long time, or sometimes it's fleeting, like in all things in life. You might love something for a week and then it sort of disappears. But for me, it's a brand I haven't ever really been drawn to, and that's it's Patek, and it's the Patek Calatrava. And like I said, I don't think I'd ever say this given how sort of top tier they are and how probably low tier my bank account is, but I randomly came across a vintage one from the 1950s, and as we all know, it's seen as sort of the ultimate dress watch. It is perfect. There's nothing you could really want to change on it, and I saw it in gold, and it's got the small second sub dial, which I really like. The hands, they were gold dolphin hands, and again they're sort of the classic tapered triangular shape. And they've got track lines that are like small little silver dots around the dial. I'll certainly have to condense the collection to accommodate a watch like this. Probably condense the whole thing and just have a one watch collection. And it wouldn't happen for years. But the Calatrava has certainly got my attention, and the lure of it is growing. I mean, what are your thoughts, Zach, on the Calatrava?
Well, I know you've definitely mentioned the Calatrava before and its beauty, and I do certainly agree. So I second your sentiment regarding it being the ultimate dress watch. Also, I feel like the Calatrava is very elegant and emits a bit of quiet confidence. You also know I'm a big fan of a sub dial, as it adds just a little more detail on the dial. I've actually had a Patek Calatrava model saved in my Instagram post for quite a while, the Cloud de Paris, in white gold. But as you mentioned, they're not a cheap option, so I don't think it would be a replacement anytime soon.
No, it's probably a retirement thing, isn't it? And that's a long way off, isn't it, if they keep on extending the time you have to work. But there we go. Never say never. But it's probably a long way off. Okay, so why don't we talk about Insta shots that sort of grabbed our attention? Again, I really like this sort of slot that we do. Obviously I can never have just one, I'm going to go for three, but again, it's about the watch community. It's not just about Zach and I talking. So shout out to the Wristologist for his collection of seven strapless multicolored moon swatches. For me, it was like little planets orbiting a dish at different angles. It was a fun composition, if you ask me, which really caught my eye. I know not everyone likes the moon swatch, but I think they're great fun. People shouldn't take themselves too seriously. It's a great watch, and lots of people should get them. And then the other one was Philippe and their tank-inspired Zenith dress watch. And I've never seen something like this before, and that's sort of why it caught my eye. And it was in a stunning stone, sort of blue stone dial, and it wasn't lapis. He said it was sodalite, which I hadn't come across before as a gemstone. And it's almost like a small carving from a sort of Renaissance church. It was absolutely beautiful. And then my final one is from a chap who I think a lot of people know, and it's Tim Vo. And he does this sort of side-on watch shot. So it's not looking at the face or anything like that. It's very much on the side, capturing the crown, the strap, and the clasp. It's very simple, but it's highly effective, and it's really captured on Instagram. And it didn't even matter what the watch was. I didn't even check what make it was. But as an aside, I actually just wanted to sort of shout out to Tim, because I actually first followed him when I was getting into watches. He did a video review of the BB58. And actually, that video made me purchase the watch when he did that review on WatchGecko. I really admire his work. So shout out to him. He's excellent. But Zach, out of the three, which ones of those do you like best?
It was a very hard to kind of choose a winner out of the three. I mean, they're all great for different reasons. Wristologist, great shot, like you mentioned, Moonswatch, fun watches, and how he kind of situated them like planets orbiting a dish at different angles. So very creative. Filippo's tank-inspired Zenith. I thought that dial was stunning. I'm a big fan of the lapis dials on the vintage day dates. So that definitely caught my eye. And thirdly, that shot of Tim's. Like you said, he's very creative. He's simple and highly effective. And yeah, that's it's no surprise that he got you to get your BB, Black Bay 58. But if I had to choose one, I would say Filippo, his shot of the Zenith with the blue dial. I love the lines of the tank and style of the case. I'm also a big fan of the color blue, also a Chelsea supporter, which actually might be controversial or not. And the gold case that just complements the whole design of the watch. I feel like he captured it great. I think if I'm correct, it was a picture without the straps. And I love it when it's just more, the watch has more focus on the case without the straps as a distraction. So yeah. I think that's my choice.
Oh, nice. Well, I mean, I'm a Man United fan, so both our teams are dumpster fires at the moment.
Yeah, I think we're drawing at the moment.
See, we didn't go with what you're lusting after, because it was also your favourite shot of the week. So the floor is yours to tell our listeners more.
Yeah, you're definitely right. So my shot of the week / the watch I'm lusting over comes from a post from Loop This on Instagram, so shout out to Loop This. And it was a picture of an Audemars Piguet Royal Oak Nick Faldo Championship Edition, reference 56175 TT Tantalum Quartz. I loved it. It's a watch that I believe that Loop This sold back in February, I believe. I've also been fascinated with more vintage quartz AP Royal Oaks, just because they're less common than their older or their newer brother, and normally fit slightly smaller, which is what a more preferred size for me. I always kind of feel like the over 40 millimeters are slightly big, but I know that the vintage APs are of a slightly smaller size that kind of suits me. And yeah, the quartz just offers something completely different to the newer automatic versions.
Nice. I actually went on his Insta page, but then I instantly got drawn to the Abercrombie & Fitch Seafarer that we talked about in a previous episode that I was lusting after. And I got drawn to that and got very distracted. But both very beautiful watches.
Don't blame you.
So let's move on. We always do a brand every episode and why we love them. This podcast isn't about what we dislike about brands. You know, other people can do that. This is about love of watches. And we're going to talk about IWC. So we'll start off with the Big Pilot Chronograph. And I'm going to mention, obviously, the blue one that I bought. So I've always wanted an IWC Pilot for a while, but there's a bit of an issue. That it's about size. They're ginormous things. They're often too big and too thick for the average wrist, which is what I have, and it makes them sort of impractical. And then the 41 mil came along a couple of years ago. It's still a thick watch, not going to lie, but I think the heft is more manageable, and it's still certainly a masculine watch. It's got that presence. Also, I always say it every single episode. I'm drawn to the symmetry of the dial because I don't really like asymmetrical things. But I love how legible the dial is. And the biggest thing I love about it is the colour. So it's got a sort of sunblast blue. I love how it shimmers and changes in the light, a bit like the Omega 300 Seamaster that I've got. I toyed with the green version because I do love green dial watches. I mean, as people know, I've already got the Oris Big Crown pointed date in that colour. But I'm not the biggest fan of sort of modern watches. And this one sort of pays homage to that vintage Pilot. So that's where I got one. And I do absolutely love it, despite that I did dink it quite badly a few months ago. There are lots of watches that are trying to emulate this type. But I feel that the IWC Big Pilot is legitimate crown jewel. You know, if you can save up for one, do it. I think they're worth the money. The other thing that I really like is sort of the day-date combo. It does allow for that symmetry that I do love. You know, I do dislike date windows as they often break that symmetry. You know, it makes the watch look awkward for me. Again, most notably, you know, the Breguet Type 20. You know, why on earth they put it between the 4 and the 5 position? It drives me nuts. I just want to like scrub it out and put it and get rid of it completely. But there you go. It's their design feature. But Zach, what do you think? What do you admire about Pilot Chronographs of IWC? And what colour would you go for?
Yeah, well, I'd say I am a fan of IWC Pilot Chronos. They often spoke about commonly in the watch world, and I think that's definitely for a reason. They're definitely a notable watch. I love the blue dial version, so if I ever go down that path of buying one, that's definitely the color I believe I'd go for. My only reservation, as you mentioned previously, is the size of the watch and the case thickness, which will most likely overpower my wrist, but may fit well on others. Also, the green dial version, I feel like is a great secondary option. So yeah, I kind of feel like the Chrono is a pilot is a good option. Yeah, wouldn't mind adding one to my collection.
I think you should do. Like I said, I pushed you very hard into getting an Oris the other week, but IWC, I really like them as a brand. You know, that they do a number of things really well, as opposed to doing 100 things, you know, relatively well. And I think that should be encouraged. But just talking about the different versions of the Big Pilot, I'm really drawn to the Mercedes green version they have. Then if you've seen that one, it's like the Lewis Hamilton one that they released in Miami Grand Prix a couple of years ago. It's slightly dearer in price for basically no apparent reason. And it's sort of quite hard to justify. A few people on Instagram have got it, and I do absolutely love it. I think they are a thing of beauty. You know, Petronas is their sponsor. So it's in Petronas green, and it's almost sort of luminous. And it comes in a matte black. You know, I much prefer the sunblast effect of the blue, which I own, but it's still like a really great watch. Again, there are other versions and variations which I like, but again, the price goes up and up. And while the material compounds sort of make them different, I don't think you can really go wrong with the original steel version that I have. That said, they've got a new Top Gun Oceana, and it's in a dark blue. It's very complimentary, sort of woven line strap, looks really awesome. As is the Top Gun Lake Tahoe in white with a black dial, and the contrast just absolutely pops. It is incredible, but again, with that it comes a bit of a price bump. I mean, Zach, if you had to pick one and money was no object, which one would you like and go for?
I feel like, oh, it's a tricky one, Tim. I feel like they're all great options, but I think I definitely go with the one that stood out to me, the white Lake Tahoe. I love the contrasting black dial. And I also love the NATO strap as well. That just complements the watch greatly. A hard watch to probably keep clean, but a stunning option, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you could properly rock that Lake Tahoe. But again, probably got to save up for that. And after the damage of the Rolex, you have to save for a while. But yeah, I think you could pull that off. You have to go into IWC sometime and then you can try it on. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely be down for that during the summer at some point.
Yeah, let's do that. Brilliant. Cool. So moving away from sort of the Big Pilot Chronograph in that 41 mil, you've got the Big Pilot in 43, sort of the original one. I mean, at 43, I don't think I could pull it off. But that doesn't mean that I don't love it for exactly the same reasons as loving the 41 mil chronograph. It's got the same sunblast dial, but this time it's obviously on full display. No sub-dials, just floor-to-ceiling blue or green, sort of shimmering colour. And the other thing is, We talked about crowns on a previous episode. It's got that very famous onion crown. We did that, on a pod a few episodes back, and we raised it there. But again, it's worth saying, it's got that iconic feature. It's a subtle one at that, and it goes a long way standing out from the watch crowd. It's really tactile and definitely draws the eye. Zach, what do you like about
the big crown? I do like the big crown, like you mentioned. I like the onion crown. I do think it's quite unique and an iconic feature. I feel like many watches lack that kind of element. I feel like it's a great option. But like you mentioned, 43 is quite enormous to have on the wrist. I think 41 is just over the limit for me. So I feel like 43 is probably out of question. But like you mentioned, I can, enjoy the display and the features on the dial. Definitely probably not one that I would have bought.
Yeah, I remember I walked into the IWC shop in Regent Street or wherever it is in London, or just off Regent Street a few months ago, and this guy sort of just sauntered in, and he was like, I swear he's like 7 foot, and he just like just mammoth of a man, and he had like, I think it was like the 45 mil or something on, and he was like, oh, Tim, try it on. And it just dwarfed me, but he could totally pull it off. Military man or whatever. But if you've got the wrist to do it, then obviously do it. But I was like, this is crazy, insane. But it was had a good chat, and the guys in there are pretty cool as well. So definitely check out the their official store in London. So let's move on to, I suppose, the lesser known pieces. So I'm going to talk about the Portuguesa. So this is a range I haven't looked at too carefully. I think, when you look at IWC, you go straight to the Pilot, and that's what we've done on this show. But there is an elegance about the Portuguesa that's often overlooked. I really like the version they did for the Chinese market. They do New Year ones, obviously in that sort of dark red. Dark red is lucky for the Chinese in the Chinese culture. They have an open case back, which has the animal on the rotor of what New Year it is. And I'm a rabbit owner, I'm a proud rabbit owner. And last year they had Year of the Rabbit. This year they've got Year of the Dragon, and that looks super cool as well. But I'd definitely go for a rabbit over a dragon. It's probably just me. They've got a new release for an absolutely insane price. And it's a Tourbillon day and night with a black dial and gold case. It's great to look at. And the novelty is like this rotating orb to sort of signal the move from like day to night and then back again. And you can even see it rotating like in the case back, which is really clever. Again, if money's no object, buy the Patek Calatrava. But this version they've got, IWC, is pretty cool. But Zach, are you drawn to the Portuguesa? What do you like about them? And how about that Tourbillon?
Yeah, definitely. I am drawn to them. And I actually didn't know about the Chinese market dark red, lucky dark red kind of colour that they emitted with the rabbit or dragon. That's super cool. I love when like watch brands do things specifically, fund different alternatives. So that's really cool they've done that. I am a fan of IWC Portuguesa, and I always see them as a grail dress watch in amongst anyone's collection. I wouldn't mind adding one, but just like the other watches we've mentioned, the price point might be significantly higher, especially with that Tourbillon. I kind of feel like the Portuguese has always been a very classy option, and I would say probably rare, maybe not rare in general, but rare to me, because I don't think I've actually seen one out, to be honest with you, Tim. And the Tourbillon day and night you mentioned, I kind of feel like that's a piece of art, from the rose gold case to the open back. I kind of feel like that's definitely something that can just be watched in a display case all day. I feel like it's a truly spectacular watch and would be a dream to own one. The only issue, again, of course, like we've kind of echoed, is the size of the watch. But when it looks that beautiful, I think that can be mitigated.
Would you go for that Lake Tahoe? Or would you go for a Portuguesa?
Oh, that's a very tricky question. That's a very tricky question. If it's a Tourbillon, I think I'd go for that. And then that's if it's gifted to me. Yeah, probably a watch that's probably kept clean easier, but significantly more expensive. So I think the deciding factor is if someone was going to buy me one, then yeah, it would probably be the Tourbillon, I'd say.
Nice. I saw that you could definitely rock that Lake Tahoe in that white and black. But yeah, let's go into the shop and let's try them all on. They probably wouldn't let us try the day-night one on, but we still look at the normal Portuguese and perhaps the Chinese New Year ones. We'll move on to talk about another bit of watches that we like. So we've done brands. We're now a specific element of watches more broadly. We're going to stick with watch straps. Obviously, we did all leather watch straps with David from the Strap Tailor last time out. But we're going to pivot to NATO straps. So confession, I absolutely love NATOs. I love how versatile they are. Colours, patterns, weaves. But there's a but in there. Depending where you buy, the quality isn't always up to scratch. Normally, I go for the premium ones, you know, where the holes are reinforced so they don't fray. I bought one from a really good brand to pair with my Black Bay 58. It's sort of a side weave, red and black NATO. And, you know, only seeing the picture, you know, doesn't really do it justice. It really pops, and I love wearing them together. And you can see it on my Instagram feed, watchword, to truly appreciate that. I've also got sort of strong preference for the Marine National versions, and it's more with elastic fabrics. It's not the traditional sort of NATO as people come to know and love. It's got a hook buckle and often sort of a center color line running through. I mean, there's some great combos. I've got an olive green one with a red center line paired with my green Oris Big Crown Pointed 8. And I love one that I've got with my blue IWC chronograph, which again, it's dark blue Marine National with a red center line. One brand I really admire, but I haven't actually purchased yet, is from Erica's Originals, and they specialize in the Marine Nationals. They're top grade, they've got great selection, and I'll definitely add one to mine collection one day. Zach, do you like the Marine Nationals and sort of NATOs more broadly?
Well, like you mentioned, Tim, I'm also a big fan of NATOs. They work so well day to day as casual wear and complement sports watches as well. I did have one on my Black Bay 58 also, the Tudor NATO, which kind of served me very well. I found it quite comfortable, and it was a perfect color blue. It was a perfect cover blue to match the dial of the watch. The only negative I'd say is the fabric of the NATO. It can get dirty pretty easily, but I found a toothbrush and a bit of soap, and you can get that easily restored back to natural color, which is great. I'm not actually too familiar with the Marine National straps, so it's interesting to hear your take on them. The sound of it being more of a stretchy NATO does appeal to me, because I do feel like there's always an element of comfort that can be increased. So maybe with the stretchy strap, that kind of makes things a bit more pleasant. I would love to try putting one on a field watch, potentially a Hamilton, a vintage Hamilton field watch, something like that. I feel like that would go quite well.
When you mentioned a toothbrush, I keep getting toothpaste stains on them, trying to clean my daughter's teeth. If you're saying a toothbrush brings it out, then I might try that as opposed to the toothpaste. But yeah, they are great, but they can get quite messy while doing things in other parts of your life. One brand I also like is Zulu Alpha Straps. So shout out to them. They've started a really cool, interesting podcast, and it really goes deep into the industry and sort of brings behind the scenes knowledge to their listeners. Again, I'm sure lots of people listen to them, but I really find it, like I said, fascinating. They're another British brand. They're based in Liverpool, and they've got that sort of focus on military style. I married a Scouser, so I've fallen in love with Liverpool and all its architecture and everything else, and its music and its art. Not a football team though, as a United supporter, but it's it's really great to see industries coming back there and having startups. So again, it's a shout out to them, based up in Liverpool. You know, I really like they're sort of, they're called keepers, so strap keepers, and they're basically sort of, when the bit of the strap sort of dangles around and you wrap it around, they've got sort of flag details, so they often use a UK flag or US flag, and it highlights the close relationship we have together with our armed forces. And I think it'd be great to do it with our other Commonwealth you know, partners represented in there. Maybe they could feature Australia, Canada, New Zealand in the future. I mean, have you seen the brand, Zach? You know, what do you think?
No, I actually haven't seen the brand before, actually. But after hearing about them now, I may need to consider. I have a few watches that I have in mind, not anything too big of a purchase, but I have some watches that will look good on some NATOs, so I'll definitely check out Zulu Alpha for some straps this summer.
And like I said, it stops you buying a watch, doesn't it? It's meant to, if you buy some straps. It keeps that hunger at bay. So,
definitely
invest in some more NATOs. So it sort of brings us to a close. So it's another wrap on an episode. You know, again, I've really enjoyed it. IWC is such a great brand, especially the dull colours, you know, that they're running with at the moment. You know, what colour do you have as a favourite? Please let us know. On future episodes, we're going to try and bring you more interviews with those in the watch family. So look out for those as special editions. But obviously, we're going to still keep to our, you know, brands and then favourite parts of a watch as well and things we're lusting over. Next time out, we'll be turning to what many see as the most well-known and designed watch brand in the world. That's Rolex. We've kept it back on purpose. I have a somewhat controversial take on the brand, so stay tuned for that. We'll also be back again with our favourite shots and reels on Instagram, plus the watches we want. And in our last segment on straps, we're going to talk bracelets, which will be pretty fun. So thank you for keeping time with us. You know, you can follow the page, and then you can follow Zach at Sourced Watches and myself, Tim, over on Watchwords. Thank you for listening. And until next time, over and out.